it's not even necessarily hold them accountable as much as it is just you have a ton of resources in your community, especially within the Mississippi Delta. And again, we as a community assume that everybody knows what's available.
So that's the mentorship.
Yeah. And it's not easy to find. Have you ever tried to just look for some of these resources on the internet?
Well, I take it all for granted. That's the other easy part.
Yeah.
On the fortunate side, you take this all for granted.
Each day at Wesley Meadows is a new opportunity to serve older adults and reimagine retirement living. It is the heart of their mission that inspires their team to provide the kind of fun atmosphere and care residents would want for themselves. Experience the warm spirit and faith-based difference of Wesley Meadows. Call 662-429-2070 and schedule your visit today.
Hello and welcome to The Real Hernando, presented to you by Wesley Meadows Retirement Community and produced by SRP Studios, podcast-powered branding for business growth. This podcast spotlights organizations, ministries, and community leaders in Hernando and Greater DeSoto County by sharing their stories and what led them to serve the community. Please follow us at therealhernando.com for all channels and social media platforms. I'm your host, Derek, and today we are spotlighting The Box Project. The Box Project's mission is to encourage and enrich the lives of families and individuals living in rural poverty by establishing meaningful relationships, promoting education, and offering material aid. Participating in The Box Project's Family Match program supports their mission by getting the increasing number of families living in rural poverty the help they need to break the cycle of poverty and build a more secure and promising future for generations to come. For all information, visit boxproject.org. Today, joining me is Director Kara Delaney. I got it right, didn't I? I knew I was going to trip somewhere, you know? Like I said before the show, we keep it light here. I told you that I'm the mumbler and I screw this up, but we keep it light. We're having fun here. So thanks for joining us, Kara.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. So we're here to learn about The Box Project, obviously, and how people can sponsor, volunteer, donations. But we're also here to learn about the director. So tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and how you got involved.
Okay. So my name is Kara Delaney. Mm-hmm. I live in Tunica, Mississippi, and I have been with the Community Foundation of Northwest Mississippi for 5 years this April. I started as the director of the Box Project in July of 2021, in addition to other roles that I have at the Community Foundation. I mean, what else do you want to know?
So I would gather, I know you came in after COVID. But I would gather COVID really put a dampen on the food rural situation, and I'm sure you guys came in big for that, delivering food. Because I know a lot of kids rely on school meals,
That's right. Well, so one of the roles that I have at the Community Foundation is I'm the co-director of the Nonprofit and Volunteer Resource Center. So I'm out in the field working with nonprofits every day, face-to-face with organizations that are serving individuals that are living in rural poverty. And so it was just a natural fit for me to be the director of the Box Project. Mm-hmm. Our previous director, who did a fabulous job, she just her role was office in the accounting. And so it was difficult to be in the field. And mm-hmm. COVID really kind of took the wind out of the sails of our organization because a lot of people were, you know, financially concerned, struggling themselves due to layoffs and et cetera. And so we've made some changes and trying to reinvigorate our program and build it back up. So
what's the health of it now here in 2020?
So we're
not 2020,
making a,
but you know,
2024. We're slowly creeping back. You know, we have one of the biggest struggles is individual family sponsors We do have a lot of interest with people that want to donate, but the way that our organization works is that partnered sister family relationship where the recipient is matched with a sponsor family. Mm-hmm. And we really need an influx of that for the organization to continue the mission and be successful. Just since January, I've matched 5 new families, which is pretty good. Annually, my goal has been 20 to 25. Last year, we really only matched, I think, 11. Mm-hmm. I have to check those numbers, which was because it's based entirely on the number of sponsors that sign up to sponsor a family. Mm-hmm. You know, we've kind of seen the ripple effect of COVID. Even though we were out of COVID technically, people are still having some issues financially in the stock market and things like that. A lot of our sponsors are retirees, and, you know, their income is really subject to how the stock market's going most mm-hmm. of the time.
Absolutely.
And so we did lose several sponsors, long-term sponsors, that had been working with families last year. So I had to actively rematch those recipient families that, you know, mm-hmm. lost a sponsor due to either health concerns or financial reasons last year. So, but everybody has been matched, and we are working on a new wait list this year for 2024 right now, currently.
Mm-hmm. So when you say sponsor family, is that the family that is sponsoring the family in need?
Yes.
So does it have to be literally a family or
an individual? We just call it a family. Okay. Oftentimes it's, you know, just one person in the family, mm-hmm. but, a lot of our families, it's their, like, mission they do together because they shop together, they pack boxes together.
I was going to ask
those types of things. Yeah. And it's you know, the main focus of the Box Project is that mentorship relationship. And so generally, not always, but generally it's a mother or grandmother that matches with the family. Mm-hmm. And they do the primary communication. But if they have children in the home, they will often write letters also and correspond with the other children. Matter of fact, I got a new sponsor that signed up over the weekend, and their specific request was to have a match family that kind of mirrored her grandchildren's age so they could be more involved in, you know, shopping and communication.
And the kids hanging out.
Yeah. Well, they won't likely ever hang out.
So there's no intermingling of the families?
Very rare, only because a lot of my sponsors none of them live in Mississippi. And so they live primarily in the Northeast. Several of them live like in Texas, California, Illinois, Chicago, you know, the Chicago area, and so on. We have a pretty good geographic map on the website. I'm pretty sure our website has been under construction, so I know most of those things have been updated. So if not, it will be soon. So
that's interesting because it sounds very hands-on, but from a distance. Mm-hmm. But you mentioned taking them shopping.
No, the children. So like for instance, if you were the sponsor, mm-hmm. you and your children would shop and then box it and send it.
Oh, there you go. Hence the Box Project.
Yes.
It takes me, you know, it takes me a little bit of time to clear up. But that's okay. So that's a great way to be very hands-on mm-hmm. from a distance.
Yeah.
You don't have to.
And it doesn't have to be a distance. In recent years, we haven't had as many families come to visit. But in the past, they often would go visit one another. Mm-hmm. Especially the children of recipient families might go on family vacations with the sponsor families and things of that nature.
And so they are allowed.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
To mingle,
it's at the discretion of the families.
Mm-hmm. But it's just a geographical barrier mm-hmm. sometimes. Mm-hmm. Well, that's really cool. So how do you have the reach that attracts sponsors from all over the country?
So I guess what we need to do probably is kind of step back and look at the history of the organization.
Let's go. Yep.
So the Box Project was started in 1962. Mm-hmm. It was actually organically came out of a conversation between a philanthropic lady from Vermont. Her name is Virginia Nave, and she was flying on a flight to Geneva, Switzerland for the peace conference there, and she just happened to be seated next to Coretta Scott King. And a lady from Jackson, who was a big advocate during the civil rights movement, named Clarie Collins Harvey, sorry.
That's a hard name to remember.
Yes, I can never remember her. Clarie Collins Harvey. So the three ladies started talking about the conditions of the Mississippi Delta, the effects of the civil rights movement on that region, trying to work with families to get individuals registered to vote and et cetera. And from that conversation, Virginia went home and continued to have a relationship with both women and came up with this concept of sending material aid to the Delta. And that included information on how to become a registered voter. Mm-hmm. That's the organic way that it kind of came about. From that, it grew into a rather large organization, especially in the mid-80s. Oprah Winfrey spoke about it on her show multiple times.
Nice. She has some reach.
That's right. It also was printed in magazines, back in the day, magazines would have in the back of the book ways to donate and different types of things. And the Box Project was listed in a lot of women's magazines and other types of.
And this is when print was powerful.
Very huge. Yes. Yeah. This was back in, up and through the early 2000s, This was going on. So the Box Project at one point was sharing, was working in three different regions of our country. They were working primarily in the Mississippi Delta, where it originally started, and then it grew to two other very poor regions, like the Appalachian Mountains, and then over in North Dakota in the Indian reservations. So we still have some active families from those regions, but in 2000, and I think it was 2007, and that's when we had the Great Recession, and the Box Project really lost a lot of funding, and they no longer could be self-sustaining. They had a pretty big staff, and they had to let everyone go. They had individuals that worked in the Delta and those other two regions as well, that their role, they were the social workers going out and finding the families and vetting the families. And then they had quite a few people working in the management at the office, and they just didn't have the money to pay the salaries anymore. So they decided to relinquish their 501c3. When they did that, they reached out to the Community Foundation of Northwest Mississippi and asked if we would be interested in continuing the program, not completely, them not completely dissolve it, but move it to us as a partner program of the Community Foundation and continue to serve the Mississippi Delta. And so that happened in 2009. And at the time that it came to Hernando, to the Northwest Community Foundation, it was had sponsors and donors from 46 states, which is pretty impressive.
I would say so, yes.
And we still have relationships that started back in the 70s and 80s still intact. The average relationship between sister families is about 15 years. So we had a speaker actually this weekend in Oxford that was a Box Project recipient as a small child, and he talked about aging out. So one of the questions was, when do you age out? And he said, well, my sponsor still sends me Christmas presents and birthday cards, and I'm 40 plus years old.
Oh, wow.
And she started working with my family when I was five, but we stopped receiving boxes when my younger sister graduated from college. So the sponsor continued to support them all the way through their education, which, is at the discretion of the sponsor. Mm-hmm. When you sign up to become a sponsor, your obligation or your initial intention or commitment is 1 year, but often they stay on for many, many, many years after that. So
I would say if you're helping someone into their 40s, that's so special. Mm-hmm. Those are good people right there, mm-hmm. for sure.
That's right. And that's a good, I would say it's the majority of our families mm-hmm. are look like that. So
when they partnered with the Community Foundation, does that help them? Because now the Community Foundation offers resources and helps get those sponsors.
Yes. So I'll have to confirm the date, but I think it was in 2011 we started a endowment at the Community Foundation for the Box Project to ensure long-term sustainability of the program mm-hmm. within the Community Foundation. And I believe it started at like $5,000 that was given by the Robinsonville Methodist Church. And then other people have donated throughout, you know, the last 10, 12 years. Mm-hmm. And I think we're about 65,000 now, which is pretty impressive with our endowment. We still need to get that up. And so that's something that a lot of our donors will do an annual donation to that. You know, it may be $25 or $50, mm-hmm. but every bit counts. And that gives us some money to pull from to make sure that salaries can be met, or we can bring in outside assistance and marketing and things like that to kind of help us recruit more sponsors, which is the key.
Yeah, that's the growth.
That's the growth. It obviously having funds to manage the organization is important, but we have to have the sponsors.
Yeah, they
for
fuel
it to work.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they fuel everything, don't mm-hmm. they?
That's right.
So the Crystal Ball, is that get involved with all these, I would say, satellite organizations you work with?
So the Crystal Ball is our primary fundraiser, our only fundraiser actually for the Community Foundation to cover our administrative cost. Mm-hmm. So yes, it directly affects the Box Project and the other partner programs.
It's fueling the mothership.
That's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about some sponsorships. We mentioned the Family Match Program. Mm-hmm. So how does a family – and I apologize if you already covered this, but if there's a sponsor, whether solo or family, wants to get involved and sponsor a family, what's their best first approach to making that happen?
The best first approach is to go to the website and read about who we are and who we serve. Mm-hmm. And – to kind of understand what your role is. One of the main things that I really try to communicate to both the sponsor families and the recipient families is the box of material aid is important, but it is not the basis of the relationship. The mentorship, the friendship, the guidance, and the reciprocal relationship is essential.
Just a good influence on the
family.
That's
right, and vice versa. I mean, many of the sponsors get more from the relationship than the recipients are getting in any kind of material aid.
I'm sure it's humbling.
Yes, it's very it's just they develop a very strong relationship, friendship, and love for each other.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the winter holiday sponsor.
So the winter holiday is a short-term opportunity to give back. You don't have the mentorship relationship with the family. So if you want to help a family, but you don't necessarily have the time commitment or even the financial commitment to take on a family for a year or longer, it's a good opportunity to still make a real impact. The winter holiday sponsorship is for those families that are on the wait list that have not been matched yet because they won't be receiving a Christmas box. And so the winter holiday donors and sponsors get matched with families or you can donate and have a volunteer shopper mm-hmm. shop on your behalf for that family. And that just ensures that our recipient families that have not been selected yet have a nice holiday.
Yeah, that's special because, they're just on the side waiting. Mm-hmm. But these kids need Christmas.
Yeah, and it's you know, I could just give you an example. So it's more than just buying Christmas presents. I give each family a want list where they get to pick they list three items, and it's an educational component, a fun, you know, a want, like, you know, I want a pair of roller skates kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it could be anything that the child actually really, you know, wants, or, and then one thing that's a educational item, and then one is a need. I need a new coat kind of thing. Right. And so that's what they give back to me. And I often encourage them to do more than just one item, just two or three. So the sponsor has an opportunity to kind of select, pick and select. Sometimes they buy everything. Sometimes mm-hmm. they buy two or three of each item. But it just depends. But it's and then they also give a gift card for food. So they can buy, you know, their Christmas ham or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so it's, and then in addition to that, they also give basic need items like laundry detergent, toilet paper, and things of that nature also.
So the ones that have the full family match program, they're doing that as well?
Oh, yes. So usually, you know, again, it's kind of at the discretion of the sponsor. However, we encourage that the sponsor does some type of material aid on a monthly basis. So they will give a birthday box to the child or family member that has a birthday. They will do generally every holiday, even stuff like Valentine's Day, they'd send a little Valentine's happy. Mm-hmm. St. Patrick's Day, they might send something for that, and so on and so forth. And we basically have a holiday about every month.
That's what it's come to.
So,
yeah,
and
yeah.
then you have a birthday also.
I would
in
there. Say Thanksgiving.
Yes,
is a big
Thanksgiving.
One.
Yes, any holiday you pretty much can think about that yeah. that we would be buying things and celebrating. They are going to do some type of box. It may not be mm-hmm. a full big box like at Christmas, but it might be, you know, a thing to dye Easter eggs and some Easter candy. Right. You know, it could a little bit of something in the regular box that they're sending with the material aid. Mm-hmm. You know, each box is different. Again, it's all subject to the need of the family. What the family says is something they need a supplement for, and what the sponsor is wanting to give, if that mm-hmm. makes sense.
Sure.
So,
turkeys. What about Thanksgiving? How do they handle turkeys?
You know, it just depends. You know, I think most of my families now do like a Walmart pickup, like they have an arrangement with their, mm-hmm. If that's available to them, because some of our individuals live in rural Delta with no access to a Walmart.
Yeah, they might have a Dollar General.
They might have lucky. A Dollar General yeah. or a Piggly Wiggly or something of that nature, so
right.
they might not get access to a Walmart pickup. And so they may choose to give them a gift card so they can go and make their own purchase. Also, too, one of the things that I really encourage our sponsors to do is to make sure that our recipient families are utilizing all of those resources in their communities, like their food banks and other community resource centers that provide them with that supplement. So one of the things about the Box Project, a lot of our families are what I would call the working poor. They're kind of caught in between. You know, they're not necessarily getting all those resources because they do, you know, often work. Most of them are single mothers or grandmothers raising grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And so they do have some type of income, whether it's Social Security or a part-time job or even a full-time job, but it's not enough to fill the gap.
Yes.
And they make too much to receive SNAP benefits mm-hmm. and things of that nature. And so that is where they kind of get lost in the crack, and that's where that sponsor can kind of fill in the gap for them. Mm-hmm. And also, too, it's very overwhelming, and I think that it's something that we as a community are naive about. We just assume people know how to get access to resources. We assume that individuals know what they have to do to get mm-hmm. the things that they need. And that is a big misconception. And it's not easy. It's often very challenging and difficult to get access to certain types of resources. And I'm not just talking about SNAP and things like that. Even, you know, getting access to insurance for your children. Even if you work and you're working a part-time job or, I mean, a full-time job, insurance out of your paycheck could be the difference between feeding your family and not feeding your family. And so you need to get your children on public insurance.
Which how is, do you do that?
Yeah. Right? How do I do that? Yeah, and am I even going to be qualified and knowing all that? And that's somewhere, that's what a lot of the sponsors can kind of come in and help with that resource. Or they call me and say, where do I go? Where do I send them? Mm-hmm. Who do I tell them to talk to? And I try to help make sure that they connect with the right organizations in their communities to assist them through that process.
You mentioned that the sponsors kind of encourage their sponsorees to go to food banks. And does that mean like they're kind of holding them a little bit accountable too? I'm going to coach you. That comes to that mentorship and coaching. Here's some things you can do to fill the gap and kind of hold them accountable. Is that fair?
Well, it's not even necessarily hold them accountable as much as it is just – you have a ton of resources in your community, especially within the Mississippi Delta. And again, we as a community assume that everybody knows what's available.
So that's the mentorship.
Yeah. And it's not easy to find. Have you ever tried to just look for some of these resources on the internet?
Well, I take it all for granted. That's the other easy part.
Yeah.
On the fortunate side, you take this all for granted.
5M Services, we're your comfort specialist. We're dedicated to serving residential and commercial clients with money-saving solutions, combining the highest quality parts with our unwavering commitment to delivering exceptional service to give you the top-notch experience you deserve. A 10-year parts and labor warranty is included with every install. Dial 662-560-7331. 5M Services, making your comfort our priority. Visit us on the web at 5mservices.net for more information.
One of our major pocket areas is Jonestown, Mississippi. There is no grocery store. There is no Dollar General.
What part of Mississippi is that in?
It's kind of what I call the no man's land between Clarksdale and Tunica.
Okay.
It's about 15 minutes, maybe not quite that, outside of Clarksdale, traveling north on 61. Really small community, very poor community. They
probably don't have proper transportation.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And they don't have a food pantry in their community. They don't have a grocery store. They don't even have a proper convenience store, Dollar General or anything like that within their community. And wow. So in order for them to be able to get access to groceries, they either have to have reliable transportation or have the ability to pay somebody to drive them into Clarksdale to the grocery store.
And they're already struggling financially.
That's right. And also, too, in order to work, you have to have reliable transportation to drive because there aren't going to be very many gainfully employed positions in Jonestown for you to be able to get a sustainable job. Mm-hmm. Now, we do have lots of wonderful organizations that work there that provide resources like But God Ministries. They have a dental clinic and they have all types of resources, help with, you know, paying your light bill if you're struggling with that and so on and so forth. So, but again, it's very prohibitive. Mound Bio is another one of our pockets where we have a lot of families that come out of. We have quite a few families down in the Sharkey, Itabena, Sharkey County, and then LaFleur counties in those very rural, kind of little out pocket areas. And, you know, you have individuals that have lived there their entire lives, but they don't have any reliable transportation. There's no public transportation coming in and out of there. And it's not easy to just pick up and move to town.
No, yeah, because, money.
You don't have any money.
Yeah.
And so that's
Those sort of like these lost communities that it's so easy for anyone to just not even, it's not that you're not paying attention, you just don't even know. They exist.
That's right.
Because we're just in our own lane.
That's right. And so we've been working with a marketing coordinator updating our website. And one of the things that she's kind of found digging through the archives, so the Box Project has all the archives that were moved to the Delta State University's archives from the Box Project, dating all the way back to 1962 when Virginia started it. Mm. And we have lots of photographs from that time period from these same regional hotspots that we still serve today. And you can look at these photographs that were taken in the mid-80s and photographs we took last week. They look the same.
Yeah.
Nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed, yeah.
Nothing's really changed. The people are changed because it's a new family, a different family, but the conditions are essentially the same. The resources and accessibility to those resources really haven't changed all that much. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have we tend to have a lot of outsiders that want to come in and do work, but they don't know. I won't say they don't know, but they don't often see these little pockets. They see the Tunicas and the Clarksdales and the Greenwoods.
Well, they want to place their business where the traffic is.
Yeah. And so, and that's why the Box Project is so important. It really taps into the individuals living in areas that just are very limiting to there.
So the area we haven't touched on yet is now school, like all of this. And then now we got also school. So you have the back to school sponsor.
Yeah.
So let's learn more about that.
So the back to school, that's probably our least selected sponsorship. Now we do, I actually got a back to school sponsor the other day. This is for those families, again, that are on the wait list that need back-to-school items for, you know, it's very expensive to buy school supplies and new uniforms for your children. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where that sponsor, it works very similar to Winter Holiday. Most of my back-to-school folks like to just do a donation and then have a volunteer sponsor go and do the shopping for them.
And because it can get tricky because the school has their own list.
Well, that's right. And that it makes it very difficult.
In elementary school, I mean, my goodness. Past those years, but my goodness. I mean, they have down to the pencil count and so many sticks of glue.
And also even as simple as the writing tablet a first grader might use, it's a particular brand, and they're going to have it at the Walmart in Clarksdale or the Dollar General in Greenwood, but they're not going to have it necessarily at the Walmart in Massachusetts where the sponsor is going to buy it. And so that can also be prohibitive. Also, too, we do have a lot of organizations that do a very good job of giving out back-to-school supplies and backpack supplies, but they aren't necessarily giving them the uniforms and stuff like that that they need for school. Most of our rural Delta schools wear uniforms.
Yeah.
And
that's a way to unify in a way because, you know, no kid wants to go to school with drabby clothes.
That's right.
It's a way to kind of even the playing field because these kids will pick on each other. Their kids will be kids. But yeah, uniforms. You got to buy multiple pairs of khakis, red, probably polo shirts, right?
Red, green, depending on the school.
Yes.
And the region that they're in. So, and each school is different. What the kindergartners wear may not be the same thing that the fifth graders wear, that kind of stuff too.
So that volunteer shopper really is important.
The volunteer shopper makes a big difference. Sometimes those volunteer shoppers that we use are the referral agencies. They're social workers that work at those referral agencies because they're working directly in that community already.
Yeah.
They're referring those families, and they can identify what exactly each family needs and then go and pick that up. So
these sponsorships, the family match is long-term, super dedication. You know, that's
well, it's at 1 year.
Right, but it's so on top of and hands-on for that year.
Yes.
And then you have the winter, the back-to-school, which are the special ones, that which helps the people on the waiting list. But then you have donations. So it's another way to support. So I have listed here gifts of cash, gifts to the Box Project Endowment, team and corporate members, donor status. Give us a little more information on the donation side.
Okay. So like a team or corporate sponsor, those are going to be like your Sunday school classes that, you know, take up an offering and want to do a donation. And then we will do a recognition to them for that.
Yeah.
Corporate sponsors might be a local business or, you know, FedEx, for instance, that might decide they want to do a sponsor, make a donation. And then so we have a lot of, you know, I kind of already touched on this, families that are very devoted or have spent many, many years. And we've also had recipients that have kind of aged into adulthood that have become, you know, successful in their own right, and they like to do legacy gifts and memorials and honorarium type gifts in honor of their sponsor, or vice versa, sponsor to a recipient family kind of thing. And we get quite a few of those annually as well.
Have you witnessed families and kids that were part of the Box Project later in life getting themselves out and you know, having a successful life, then give back and become a sponsor?
Yes, we have had a few of those. And we probably have more. Just since I have started in 21, I've had a couple, but I'm sure there are far more than that, that I just don't really realize that that's what that their relationship
is.
We do have quite a few that give back in other ways. So our website, our the original Box Project website that they did back in 2011 was built by a Box Project recipient and his students at Mississippi Valley State. He's gone on to be a professor at the University of Mississippi and has recently, with his computer science class, worked very closely with our marketing team to update our website to the modern age, because it needed it. And he's actually doing some donating quite a bit of his personal time to do some build outs that will make my job a lot easier and help reduce some of the paperwork for our referral agencies and myself in matching. So
remained humble and knows where he came from and what it was like.
And understands that that the power of the Box Project and what it can do. You know, it's not going to be the sole reason for anyone to be successful,
but it could be the one thing
that gives them the push, or even, you know, it could be something as simple as the sponsor being willing to pay for the ACT test or the application to go to college, or giving them a book that inspired them to pursue a career. You never know. It can be kind of paralleled with the influence a teacher can have over someone's life. You really can't pinpoint it, but somewhere in there, the child heard something and it makes a
difference.
Absolutely.
That gentleman's life could be totally different if not piecing all of this together for him. And the Box Project is a huge part of the puzzle.
It's one piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, a strong piece.
It's a very strong piece of the puzzle.
So before we wrap up, I always want to make sure we don't forget some things and leave some stuff on the table here. So is there anything else that you feel needs to be shared?
Well, I do want to just talk just briefly about the referral agency and the process and how to become a recipient.
Please, yes.
I think that's important. So currently we have four different referral agencies. One, like I mentioned, But God Ministries in Jonestown. And then we have the Diaper Bank of the Delta that's in Cahoma County in Clarksdale. She actually serves all 82 counties in our state. But the Box Project only serves the Mississippi Delta region. And so she will identify families through the through the diaper bank that she feels would be a good match for the Box Project. And then we have St. Gabriel Mercy Center in Mount Bio. And then we have the Greenwood Community Center in Greenwood, Mississippi. Mm-hmm. So those are the four areas for individuals to go to be interviewed and go through the process of vetting to become a recipient. And I know that it does require them to often have to drive. But right now, with our limited resources and our limited sponsors, it's difficult for me. I tried to put them in the pocket areas that we tend to get the majority from. Mm-hmm. But if anyone is interested that doesn't necessarily live in that community, they can still go to those organizations and go through the process.
Okay.
I'd want to be clear when I say Mississippi Delta, because I do get a lot of people reach out to me from the Arkansas Delta side.
Yeah.
I don't like to just say this is the only county that we're going to work in.
Yeah.
However, we primarily serve Cahoma, Quitman, Tallahatchie, Bolivar, LaFleur, Sunflower, Washington, Humphreys, Sharkey. We do have some families from Tunica County.
I mean, it's a large area.
Yeah, it's a pretty large
area. You can't save the world.
We can't do everything.
As much as you want to.
Yeah. I mean, I get folks that call us from Jackson wanting to become a recipient, and that Jackson is really too far out. But if you're right there, pretty much every county that is west of 55
yes.
will fall into that category.
Yeah, it seems like the closer you get to the river.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, it just changes for sure.
That's right.
And I would gather the interstate had a big issue with all this too, just cutting through and eliminating the rural state highways. You know, so, but that seems like a large area. And like you said, you can't save the world.
We can't serve everybody. And ideally, I would like to have a referral agency in every one of the counties that we try, you know, we want to work in and that we've got families from. And eventually one day we'll be there. The more donors and donations we get and the more sponsors that sign up, we can be there. But right now, it's just, we're, you know, matching 20 families a year is a challenge right
sure,
now. And so
sure.
we're trying to get that up.
Doing everything you can.
That's right.
That's all you can do. And sponsors, anyone that's interested in sponsoring, can they contact director@boxproject.org?
That's right. They can also go directly to our website and sign up for a sponsorship.
So again, the website is boxproject.com.
.org. Yes, boxproject.org.
I always do that.
And they can go to the donor link I think it's at the top and select which however they want to support us, and we would appreciate anything they're willing to do in any amount.
Absolutely. So before we wrap up one last time, is there anything that you want to add? Or I think we covered a lot here, and you did a great job, Kara.
Thank you.
Yes, you were a little nervous coming in, but
what are you gonna ask me?
I know.
Do I need to have prepared statements?
I always like surprising people. No.
Yeah,
no. So. I was supposed to email you something.
That's okay. No, that's
sometimes they do, sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
So. Well,
So who's the voice in the background? You don't have to jump in front of the cameras, but who's been on the side here helping us out?
So this is Amelia Dulaney. She is our marketing coordinator. She is a freelance marketing and storytelling professional, and she is actually the one that has helped us get a ton of research and put it together in a story to really communicate who we are, what our roots are, and where we want to be.
She's been flashing big, you know, cue cards over there.
Yeah. Don't forget Media by Mill if you need her. And she works with nonprofits primarily. She's done quite a bit of work with a lot of the nonprofits in the Delta. So
awesome. Well, thanks for coming in and doing this. And like I said, you did a great job, and I think you represent the Box Project very well. And man, this is an awesome program, an organization that, man, really helps a lot of people. And it's inspiring that the level of help the sponsors give, because it's hands on.
Oh yeah,
this is more than just here's some money.
Oh yeah, this is a commitment level that it takes a it takes a certain type of person that
for sure
can do this type of work. And
is there, so what's the process like to bring in a sponsor?
So, well, I mean, the sponsor side is actually pretty easy. I try to, I don't like to use the word train, but, you know, kind of coach them and how to best serve and.
Because they might not realize the kind of commitment that it is.
That's right.
Right.
And we've had that. We've had a couple people sign up and not really understand the commitment level.
Right.
And then, you know, or that are also kind of naive to the need that's really out there when they come in, you know.
Coming in with good intentions and
yes,
a good heart,
absolutely.
But it's work, and you
then
might have
they realize that you know $50 or $100, and I don't know. Some families do, you know, set a budget and that's all they spend. But we've had families purchase homes, pay college tuitions, buy cars, go on family vacations, all types of levels of commitment. And it, like, I mean, I keep saying this, it's really between the sponsor and at the sponsor's discretion and between the families. And, you know, the closer the families become and really build genuine relationships, the more you see some of this other stuff.
Above and beyond.
There are videos on our website, like Raising the Roof for Rosie, where her sponsor paid to have the new roof put on her home. I recently had a recipient, a young recipient, whose car was stolen and totaled, and her sponsor helped her. She didn't pay for it all, but she assisted her in getting a new vehicle. So those are the types of things that often can happen, and those are not stories that are just rare. They're pretty...
Yeah,
they're pretty regular.
And just when you think they're starting to catch up, and then bam, life will just hit you like that.
Yeah, so you know, I tell my sponsors that a lot of these families are, you know, they're definitely paycheck to paycheck, or you know, Social Security check to Social Security check, depending on what they're receiving, and a flat tire is the difference between losing their job.
Yeah.
And
now they can't get
feeding
there.
Their families and being homeless.
I mean, a flat tire is awful for me.
Yes.
You know, like, it's just a struggle for everyone. I can't imagine when you're out in these rural areas.
Yeah,
and like, now you can't get to work, and now you lose your job, and now you're right back to square one.
Yeah, and I have $11 in my checking account, and it's feed my children, pay my light bill, or buy the tire for my car.
And I would gather water quality isn't great in these areas?
You know, I can't speak to that. Yeah. I'm not certain.
I think it's just easy to assume that. But yeah, bottled water is definitely a necessity too.
Yeah. I'm sure. Oh, yes. I think, you know, I can't say this for certain, but I do feel like one of the things since the mid-80s that has changed is we do have more, the majority of the homes do have access to it. However, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean they can afford to keep it on.
Yeah, it's month to month. That bill comes at you every month.
That bill comes at you every month. And when you have situations like the winter apocalypse we just had.
Right.
And your water line gets broken, you can't afford to pay someone to come repair it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so then you don't have running water in your home anymore.
My apartment complex here lost water, and oh my God, it's like, oh, third world country. You know, we take it for so much for granted, flushing the toilet with a bucket, you know?
Yeah. And I think that.
So imagine their situation.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people are really naive to the circumstances and just assume everybody has access to all the luxuries because this is America, and we should all have access to all the luxuries.
That is not the case.
And that is not the case. And it's honestly right here in our community, not far from our own doors. So,
well, the purpose of this podcast is to spotlight but bring awareness to all these organizations. So I hope we can help in any way. Anyone watching or listening, please go to boxproject.org.
Yes.
And you got everything you need there. Again, you can also email director@boxproject.org. I also have an office number. Hopefully it's right. 662-351-3451.
Yes. The best way to get me is email, though.
Okay. So I'm
in the field so much that I'm not sitting at my desk answering the phone.
Right, right. So thanks again, Kara, for doing this. You did a great job. I want to repeat that.
I will talk all day, so you got to get me out of here.
See, there you go. See, yeah.
I mean, there. Quit asking me what else to add, because I'll think of something else that I didn't think of.
Well, we'll have you again next year.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much. So, again,
thanks to everyone watching and listening for hanging out. We do appreciate you. A great way to support The Box Project in terms of this podcast is follow the podcast, share the episode. You're going to see clips on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, comment, like, share, throw a heart on there. That goes a long way to help further the reach for these organizations that we're trying to promote here. I also want to thank all of our sponsors. Wesley Meadows Retirement Community is our title. This doesn't exist without them. If you want to learn more about how maybe becoming a sponsor for this podcast and advertise on it, there's links in the description. And everything you need is at therealhernando.com, all our channels. You'll see all the icons in the top right-hand corner of the screen, and follow all of our socials if you can. We're on Apple, Spotify, YouTube. It's a full network. So any way you engage with this podcast helps me as a small business, but more importantly, the organizations we spotlight. Again, thanks for watching and listening, and have a great day.